Welcome to Perception Vibes, where the vibe is to only be perceived by the music. There's already enough shade within the shade room, so we will not be discussing news, politics, gossip, anything of that nature which is to be debated if it is outside of the music or the creation of music. My name is Breeze, and this is my co-host, Shade B.
And today we talking about men in R&B. What do I say?
I'd like to send a shout out to our sponsors before we get started, which is Shake House Music Group
and Dope Coffee.
And then that's Why Create Productions behind the productions.
Yeah, and we on YouTube now, so make sure you like, subscribe, and comment below.
Yeah, leave us whatever feedback. Once you watch this episode, just let us know, you know, how you feeling about Perception Vibes.
Yeah, and also let's start this team Shake and this team Breeze, because I'm tired of Breeze coming for me and some other people coming for me. So I need to know who gonna be on my side and who gonna be on Breeze side.
Okay, so we're starting off this season with a beef.
Yeah, we starting off with a beef because this Men in R&B, I think, is going to be the start, and we need to go ahead and get this settled real quick.
All right, well, let me just say this. I think what Shake is trying to say is that, like, I'm not really excited when it comes to the topic of a man releasing an R&B album these days. Are you basing today's conversation off of, in general, or are we doing another today's minute?
No, so when we were discussing how we were going to start off season two and we brought up men in R&B, I knew that we weren't going to be able to do a top five like we did last season with women in R&B. One, because I feel that women in R&B right now are taking over. I think there's a consistent drop of music from the females, and the men, I feel, are they in limbo right now. They're very inconsistent. I don't think they have a direction of where they want to be in R&B, and it's like a cross between if they want to rap and do R&B. So right now, the women that are really sticking to the format of what R&B is starting to outweigh what the men are bringing for R&B.
Okay.
So I can't give you a top five for that, because I don't feel like there's a dominance of men right now for a top five.
Really controlling the charts to say, let's go ahead and say that, okay, this one is doing this, and, you know, they really release some pretty good projects back to back, or, you know, they on everybody's track.
This is not necessarily going based off of Billboard's Grammy nominations, award nominations, none of that. This is just basically solely off of the music. I'm not seeing that right now. And then I feel like it's a kind of a kudos to us, because we was pretty accurate last season with women in R&B, and to turn around and see that, like, Billboard came out with those same women for the top women in R&B. Okay. And I feel like, okay, that was like confirmation for us on what we were doing.
And yeah, that's really why I came into this conversation. Like, when women put out music, R&B specifically, I get excited because I know exactly what I'm getting ready to get. And sometimes, I'm not going to say that I'm not disappointed sometimes, but if I had to choose, probably just going to stay over here.
And I'm the way on the men's side, but it's not new artists that I'm getting excited about. It's the ones that I've been riding with from the beginning that I get excited about, because it's like I kind of have an idea of what they could bring. And then it's like, okay, I'm a little excited about what it is that they can do that's new, or maybe that's somewhat around the what's going on as far as the music, but giving me a little bit of what they feel that they want to bring for R&B around this time.
Drop a name for me. Drop a name. Because I can tell y'all what name she gonna drop, but drop a name.
Okay, so more recently, I was excited, but then I became disappointed in when I heard the album. So Raheem Devine came out with a new album, and I was excited about what I was going to hear because it wasn't like I was on his Instagram seeing if he was dropping anything or nothing like that. It was just, I've been with Raheem Devine since 2005 when he came out with The Love Experience, and I've loved him since then with his projects because I felt he was being consistent with his sound, and then this album came out, and I wasn't too happy.
Now, with Raheem Devine, like, that's the sound of Raheem Devine, and I'll just go off of The Love Experience. It's like, I don't think he's produced that kind of sound, like, since that album. But I could be wrong.
The Love Experience was definitely a classic slept-on album, one. And I think that every album that came out after that up until...
Fact check. And honestly, I like Raheem Devine.
I love Raheem
Devine. But I like select songs.
Love, Sex, Passion.
Yeah.
Up until Love, Sex, Passion, everything that he came out for me was what I wanted to hear from Raheem.
Mm-hmm.
Everything after that, it didn't really connect with me. To not even have like one or two songs that's like, okay, I can go back and listen to those. I didn't have that. And I was like, are you starting to hit a downfall, or is it just maybe your sound has evolved into something else that I'm not connecting with?
Mm-hmm.
But everything up until then, I'm still a fan. I'm still going to get excited when I hear that he's going to release something. It's just that now I'm like, is it worth me listening to now?
How much of a factor do you think? Because I know for women, life experiences like breakups and, you know, things like that play a major role in their sound, their songs, their topics of the songs and things like that. How much of an impact do you think it has on men in their music? Or do they just make music based off of the image that they're selling? Because it's like Trey Songz. When you think it's Trey Songz, you think of him as a sex symbol. You know, like, he's going to give you sex sound. So if he went through a major breakup, would we hear a breakup album?
I think you still kind of get a balance.
And would it be received?
For Trey Songz to do a breakup album? It all depends on the music that he surrounds around those lyrics. Because Trey Songz has given you breakup songs, You Ain't Shit,
yeah,
you know, Your Side of the Bed and things like that, but I don't think he's ever going to give you a full album of breakup songs. But I also feel that's a box that gets put around female artists for them to give you the breakup albums. Mm-hmm. I think that's like kind of stereotypical, and it's not right, because then you get Keisha Cole, where everybody feels like every album is supposed to be a breakup album, or Mary J. Blige, you think that that's supposed to be a breakup album. The only issue that I have about that is their music selection for those upbeat songs is the problem for me. I don't care if you want to have the upbeat songs or the more uplifting songs. It's all about the music selection. So, like, Mary J. Blige with In the Dancery, I hated that music. I cannot stand that song.
That's like the family anthem. That's like the family function anthem. How?
I don't like it.
I'm getting ready to start bopping right now.
Oh, my God.
But it's cool. We here to talk about men, aren't we?
Exactly.
No Mary J. Blige.
No, no. Never. Never, 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 never.
But no, in all seriousness, who's making good music today?
I feel like it's a bunch of singles. I feel like it's a bunch of singles and not enough body of work. So, yeah, like, when I get to listening to, trying to listen to things, because I'm still consistently listening to New Release Fridays, and it's still, you may give me an EP, you may even give me an album, but it's still, like, it's just that one song that you were able to get on the top songs picks. It's not a body of work. So there's a lot of men out here that just has one song that everybody knows, and I'm not really.
If you had to come up with a list off the top of your head right now, what does that list consist of? Who does that list consist of? Because I can give you mine.
Give me yours first.
I can give you mine.
I want yours first.
Who I'm going to go with is, I'm going to go with Sir. I'm going to go with Miguel. Miguel before Sir, but I'm not here to arrange my list. But Miguel, Sir. Who am I listening to?
Yeah, come on. But see, I feel like they dropped something new. We got something new from them.
From Sir?
Yeah.
He just dropped the whole album.
When?
Man.
See, I be missing stuff.
Cause you're asleep. That's the thing. You're asleep.
I'm not asleep. That's the baby, I'm just trying to let my hair down. That
helps?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know.
Chasing Summer.
When did it come out?
Last year.
No.
Why doesn't that count? Why doesn't that count?
I'm thinking, you know, it's something that dropped in 2020.
Who dropped music in 2020?
Trey Songz, Raheem Devon, Eric Bellinger.
Who dropped music in 2020?
Oh, my God.
You want to only go on 2020 music.
No. I don't want to go just by 2020 music. Not necessarily. But it would be nice for you to say who's doing something now in 2020.
2019 counts for 2020.
You think so?
To me?
Do you think because of the whole quarantine and everybody got shut down and really couldn't move Hollywood?
Yeah, because a lot of people had to figure out, you know, what am I going to do? You know, think about it from this, like, in the phase of the pandemic, like, the music industry had to switch up because artists depend on touring.
True.
Touring had to come to a halt.
True.
So a lot of artists had to, like, really sit at the boards and be like, what am I going to do to continue to be relevant? Putting out new music, I would have loved, but at the same time, I think that they were scared that it wouldn't get that same reaction because some people prefer live performances over just listening to it themselves.
That's true. You going with Sir, that I didn't listen to the album. Sir Miguel.
Miguel. I love Miguel. And some parts of me feel like you're going to say that Miguel is not R&B.
Miguel is R&B, but Miguel, I don't really like to put subtitles, subgenres of R&B. Mm-hmm. If it's R&B, it's R&B. Fine. It's just, he's slightly different.
But I love different. I don't just like different. I love different.
I like Miguel. I'm selective on my Miguel songs.
I could probably name your select songs.
Well, you think you know me.
I do. If I needed to make a playlist of Shake B songs, they're all going to be.
Give me your Miguel songs.
I'm going to go ahead and play. Because I really think you're asleep on a lot of them. Because you probably didn't even like his Warren Leisure's album.
Is that the one with him looking like he falling?
Yeah, the one with Skywalker?
Nope.
See? There was some gems on there.
Then school me then, please.
You only rock with All I Want Is You, Miguel.
I didn't like everything on there. Show me the songs. Let me hear the song that you're talking about from that album.
And it was perfect. It was. That's a beautiful song, but that's not all Miguel has to offer.
Give me another one.
I'm going to go on to Warren Leisure.
He's waiting. And waiting. You got to be quick on your feet with me. You think you're going to judge me? Pretty things, pretty You saying this is me?
No, I'm saying that this is my song. I don't think the only song that would be you would be
Now see, okay. I'm at home, I'm in my car. Probably hell no. I'm not going to listen to that. But if I chose to go see Miguel live and he played that, I would love it.
So you just went back to my point about why they're only on All I Wanted You.
I don't believe so.
So you listen to Wild Heart?
Oh, I absolutely do not like that album. See? I'm talking about what about Kaleidoscope?
Oh, for sure. If you don't like Kaleidoscope, but you don't like the hottest song on Kaleidoscope.
That's Adorn, right?
That's not the hottest song.
What's the hottest song? No, don't come for me. Don't come for me. I do like that song. I like the bass. Yeah, don't come for me. Stop. Y'all gonna stop coming for me.
You gave me an example of that it sounded like the My Name Is, that's why you didn't wanna.
Yeah, but then when you tried to come for me then when we talked about it, because yes, it does sound like Eminem's My Name Is. That bass line does sound similar, but when you get to the breakdown of the vocals on it, of how he sings it, then it's like, okay, I can understand that. That will be another one. I would like to see that perform live.
Give me vibes. Give me beautiful, beautiful vibes. Okay. So, again, my list is going to be Sir, Miguel, what's his name? Xavier Omar.
I like him.
The blind man.
I like him.
Yeah.
And he's different.
Different.
So don't come for me.
I love different.
Don't come for me. I like Xavier. And then he has like two projects, right?
Yeah.
I like both of them. It may not be all of them, but I like the majority of those. I can pretty much let him come on and let him play.
Mm-hmm.
I like his vibe. I couldn't tell you no song like straight off him, but I do like him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, give me some Sir songs. You trying to come for me?
Oh, I can play Sir now.
Come on, play Sir.
I can play.
So I can shut you down. Because sometimes with me, I don't know the names of the songs. And sometimes I may not even know the name of the artist. And I know I've heard the song before.
Like even when he did this song with Wayne. And that's not just because he did it with Wayne.
So you say.
Facts.
So you say. Don't sounds like you. Yeah, that's definitely sound like your vibe.
And you cannot dismiss this song. This is my favorite song. This is probably my favorite song. This probably was my anthem for 2020. But I know I have a type. I never denied that. I have a type. But it's not a type to where I'm only going to be subject to certain songs. I don't limit my potential music.
I don't limit my music selection outside of pop. So when it comes to R&B, I'll give everything a chance. It's just that, did you catch my attention enough for me to go back to continue to keep listening to it? I definitely, as a producer engineer, I'm going to give your album at least one go through to see, you know, how did you put it together? What is it that you did that may be different from everybody else? And do I enjoy it? Now, if I didn't enjoy it, I'm not going back to it, but I'm going to at least give you one listen, one time to try to catch my attention. And sometimes you may only get 10 seconds for me to catch my attention. Or you may get into the beat drop. If the beat don't drop the way that I want it to drop or how I feel like it should drop, then no, I'm not going to listen to it again. There's a lot of songs, men or women, that the first 30 seconds of the song. And there's a lot of songs out here that start off so good. But once that beat drops,
the whole tempo changes.
The whole shit changed. And I'd be really, truly annoyed. Like, what made you change it that way? Like, why would you not stay on that course that you gave for that 30 seconds? And then sometimes, even in that 30 seconds, you never hear that part of that song again. So it was like, what purpose did that serve? To catch my attention and then you pissed me off because you put something different? Like, I never understood that.
That could be a play on, like, marketing too, though. For people like you to kind of, let me draw you into this song real quick, you know, and then give you exactly what I want. Because honestly, and I'm not a John Legend fan, but John Legend I want to say this song, because it goes with exactly what you said. And I gave him that chance, like, okay, this is kind of, I like this. And then it was like, what just happened? Yes. And I was ready.
Then he had the nerve to put the la da 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 like Snoop did when they dropped it.
That's why I hurried up and turned it off, because it's like,
he whacked for that. No, that's funny. That's funny. I don't like John Legend.
Okay. I gave you my list. That's all I have. If I give you my go-to, those would be my go-to. I go to Sir anytime. I go to Miguel anytime. Who else did I name?
That was it. So you still not going to Frank?
Frank's not R&B for me.
Really?
No. A lot of people put him in the pop category. I don't think he's necessarily pop. But like,
you put Frank in his own category?
I do.
You got him all by yourself?
Yeah, I put Frank in his own lane, because he's versatile.
Do you remember when I sent you that one album from somebody and it seemed like it was a complete ripoff of Frank?
Yeah, and I can't even think of that guy's
name.
But
see, the thing is I feel that he has potential, but it's like, you sound like Frank Ocean, so that's why I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, then I might as well go listen to Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what his name was.
But there's a lot of men making R&B music. But for me, I forgot about Black. I'm a take Black.
You gonna take Black?
I'm gonna take Black. I like Black. I like the melodic feel. I like the mellow chill. You know.
I like Black too, but I'm still a little selective with him. Like I personally feel that I haven't gotten a complete
mm-hmm.
body of work that catches my attention. I do love the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
of his songs and the structure of his albums. I do like that. It's just that the music to me hasn't really caught my attention. I do feel like he has potential to grow and keep making good music. What about Bryson Tiller?
Trap Soul is all I have, and that was like, how long ago?
5 years ago. He just dropped something.
Trap Soul is all I have. And Trap Soul is how long ago? No. And the thing about, like, Bryson Tiller, I give him that album. It was a great album. But, you know.
You talking about the one that he just came out with, the new release?
Didn't even listen.
Oh, you didn't listen?
Didn't even listen. There's a lot of music. Maybe music was released this year. But there was a lot of things that I'm just like, I'm not going to listen to that. Because, I don't know, like, the lead up to didn't really, like, spark. And this is not even just men in R&B. This is music. It's like, from a marketing standpoint, what are we doing to kind of, like, create the buzz around, I'm getting to ready to release some new music, versus, you know, I don't want to just see a photo of you in the studio. I don't want to see, like, photos of, like, I don't want to see the pre-album release package.
You don't want to see the track list. You don't want to see none of that.
No, because that's not exciting for me, because I don't have anything to, you know, go off of. Like, because a lot of times, I think now, like, people are kind of pairing with a lot of new artists. So if I don't know that artist, what am I getting excited about, you know?
You talking about as far as features on the album?
Yeah. And then, like, certain pairs, I'd be like, that's questionable. But if you, like, where's the snippets?
That's what I was going to say. So do you remember when we were kids and we had BET and MTV? And didn't they used to have commercials where they did used to play snippets of the album and then told you that this is going to be released then? Like, didn't we have that?
There was a lot of buzz around, like, you know, leading up to the album. Now it's just like, my album dropped tomorrow. It's like, what? Who even knew you were in the studio?
There are some artists that will go on live and play snippets of stuff that they're working on.
But then none of that makes that.
No, and it's like, where was that song that I heard you put up like 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that was on the live was like, yeah, release that one. I understand that there is a business side to it, and it may be clearance issues and things of that nature, but it's like, if you've already been on live and you've already shown that this is what I've been working on, and I'm on the live, and there's enough people in the live to where, just like when Ludacris had the verses, right? So when Ludacris did the verses, and they played a snippet of the one song with him, Lil Jon, and Usher, and he was like, if you want us to drop it, let us know. And everybody said, drop it. And they dropped it. Yes. I don't know how it fell or if it charted or anything like that. But that's what social media is for.
Yes.
For you to do things like that. Okay, I'm letting my fans hear what I'm working on. My fans are saying that this is a go. Mm-hmm. We want to hear the whole thing. Why not go from there? That could be a marketing tool. Go on live.
Yeah.
Play snippets of this song. Let them hear it. Do you feel you have enough people that follow you that enjoy your lives? Or do you go live enough to play music so that your fans can hear what you're working on to say, okay, I'm going to put this out.
Mm-hmm.
They like this song. They like that song. Even Eric Bellinger, he did a live, and it was, let all his fans help him write a song. And that song ended up being on one of his, I don't even think it was an album. I think it was just an EP. But everybody, including myself, was like, okay, where's that song that we spent hours on your live? People throwing out bars and he going in and we're watching him record it live. Like, those type of interactions is like something that I would enjoy. If I knew there was enough producers or artists that were going on their lives and like, let's do this shit together. Let my fans be a part of my creative process. Like, that's, I think that's fire.
Yeah, because one of the main things, and I'm going to speak from, you know, a listener as well as marketing director, is like, for me, I've always wanted that opportunity to, like, be in the studio with my favorite artists, like a part of the process of the creation, to like be in the vibe of watching you like make this song, because it's gonna make the interaction with the album or the song 10 times more, you know, special in a way, because it's like I connected with you on another level because I watched this get made, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, even if you are a part of, you know, a label, you know, you have those label entities where, you know, you can't do some certain things because of clearance and things like that, at least sell it to where it's like, this is the vibe I'm going for on an album, y'all. Like, you know you're not going to use this beat or whatever, but like, this is the vibe I'm going for on the album, y'all. You rocking with it.
And if you
know
truly, as an artist, if you believe in that song that you haven't got clearance for, we do got the deluxe album.
Mm-hmm.
Keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep pushing for that song, because if you have enough people in your lives and they really enjoying that song and you already know that you're going to have a hard time getting that cleared, keep pushing.
Yeah.
Try and figure some way out, because your fans already told you that we want to hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Like, if you really have a million followers or even 100,000 followers, if enough of them are really dedicated to you, you want to tend to that core audience. And I feel like that's why a lot of the artists have a hard time, is because they're not tending to that core audience.
Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast.
Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use.
And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast.
That means you get to get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Make sure you join Anchor for all your podcast needs. You're so trying to chase the bag that you forget about the ones that's been riding with you since day one. And half the time, the sound that you're giving them is not what your core wanted to listen to. And not to say that the core are going to leave you. It's just the core going to be like, That's not it.
So should the fans have an influence over what you put out?
They're the ones that's buying and streaming your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to, there's a point where you as an artist say, this is what I want to work on as an artist. And then there's like, okay, I know my fans. I know my fans. If you truly know your fans, then you're going to be like, okay, they're going to rock. Okay, so the few that I have, I tend to listen more to, I'm one of those people as a fan, not the producer shake. Okay. Not as the producer, not as the engineer, not as, you know, breaking everything down. I'm as a fan of certain artists, I tend to go back to those that I've been rocking with since day one. That will be Trey Songz, Tank, Omarion, Genuine, who else? Tyrese, sometimes when I'm in the mood. Even Drake.
Oh.
I still have to put Drake in the R&B category, even though he raps. Still put him there.
Are you saying that men have not given you, not saying that. Are you saying that only the 90s, 2000s men are putting in good R&B music? Should R&B, should new male artists and aspire after that sound?
Not the sound, because the sound is changing. It's going to continue to change. I feel that there's no balance.
Mm.
I don't see the balance with men in R&B. I'm forgetting Eric Bellinger. I can't forget him. Chris Brown is borderline pop and R&B. I like the R&B Chris Brown. What you got to say?
People take my critique of Chris Brown and be like, how could you? But like, yeah. So Chris Brown, he still sounds like little Chris Brown.
Really?
Yes.
How do you get that? I don't know how you get that.
I just still picture Chris Brown.
See, you the reason why a lot of these childhood stars and you know, the actors and all of those people can't never get out of that role that y'all put them, that they came in and they blew up, because of people like you. Like, y'all can't let the...
I just still hear it.
Okay, so get off the R&B then. So you feel the same way about Bow Wow?
Listen, we're here to talk about men and R&B.
I'm saying this, that's the same thing. So
let me hold you. Yes. Bow Wow.
So do you put Omarion in that same box?
Never listen to Omarion. So, okay.
I am embarrassed.
Don't listen. Don't.
I am embarrassed. Like, really?
I never listened to Omarion. You
never listened to nothing of Omarion. I'm not talking about B2K.
That's why I don't listen to Omarion.
Because of B2K?
Because of B2K.
You better get at me. Oh, my.
Here's God. Why I really feel that I don't really have too much of an opinion on men in R&B. I don't feel like I can relate to men in R&B. I don't have anything that I can kind of be like, yes, that's me. So for women in R&B, I have things that I can kind of be like, yes, that's me. But men, it's like, only thing I want from men in R&B is the sex sound. But as of right now, the game y'all spitting is corny. It's corny.
Another reason why I go back to listening to what I listen to, because a lot of it is corny.
Yeah.
It's corny to me.
Like Jacquees. Like Jacquees, no.
Like, I feel that song with him and Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. I like the beat. I like the way it was put together. I like the way the vocals sound. I don't want Jacquees on it. I want it to be a whole Chris Brown song.
So I tapped on Tory Lanez last season. What about Tory Lanez? I know I'm probably going to get a jabbed at for mentioning Tory Lanez. You're in a bad position here, pal. But
talking about music here, the music of not what he has going on in his personal life. Tory Lanez, no.
Okay.
Only because he a Jacquees on the low.
So it's too tuned?
It's not that. I don't care about auto-tune. I love auto-tune when it's used the correct way. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it at all. My thing is, I'm talking about the music. So for Tory Lanez and a Jacquees, whereas Jacquees takes new shit and try to make it his own, the whole LMA shit. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was better than the LMA shit, but at the same time, you truly tried to make that like that was your song. Like, that was dead ass wrong. Tory Lanez is, I'm going to take all of the early 2000s, maybe even some 90s shit, and redo it over again and try and make it my own instead of coming up with your original stuff. Because look at every song that Tory Lanez has put out that has been a hit for him or somewhat of a hit for him. It wasn't originally his. So when you get to listening to the original music, it's like...
So I want to point out that, you know, we started this conversation with men in R&B, and we've only been able to base our conversation around artists in general. So what I would take away is that men need to...
Step it up.
Yeah, step it up.
So the whole quarantine thing, I think Tank did drop like 2 EPs of an acoustic feel. That was different for him. He never did anything like that before. It was, I think it was While You Wait and Worth the Wait.
Mm-hmm. What about Usher?
Usher, I'm anticipating for the Confessions 2, and I'm going to continue to keep saying this until I hear it. I have high expectations because you calling it Confessions 2, which you're putting up against your best album ever.
Do you want Confessions 1 again, though?
No, I don't want Confessions 1 again. What I want is something that can stand next to Confessions.
What should he take from Confessions to apply to Confessions 2?
Don't give me no pop songs.
Okay.
Name me a pop song on Confessions.
Yeah, 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 Yeah.
That song was playing to the formula.
I got you.
That was playing to the formula.
And what's
of
this
what
formula you speak of?
You gotta give a song for the radio.
Okay.
That's dead. I'm going to continue to say that. That's dead. We don't have to play for that formula anymore.
Why not?
Like, some artists are now saying what y'all want the next single to be. And if you get enough of those people to say, okay, that's going to be my next single, then cool. Like how Meg just did the whole, with her album. We've been waiting all this time for her album to drop, and then you put Savage Remix on the album, but that wasn't your initial single. You were just dropping music.
Mm-hmm.
So you made the choice to say, this already streamed X amount of streams. It's already gold or whatever it is. So let me just put this on the album, make my streams for the album go up even more.
So the streams play a role in the way that music is being released.
When you sign to a label, yeah. When you sign to a label, yeah, they're still trying to play this numbers game.
Speaking on an independent level, how does that affect your creativity? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, we can even talk about you. You just released your first beat tape. So it's like, how does streaming affect the way you feel your album is going?
I don't care about streams right now.
Okay.
My goal for that was to get out of my comfort zone and to finally release something. Mm-hmm. To stop waiting for an artist to come along. My goal wasn't to release it for streams. Mm-hmm. And not wait until I get in the right room with the right person. It's like, I've spent a lot of years focusing on what did I want to do. And I can say at least for the last 3 years, I've been spending time with understanding the business side of things and understanding how PROs and royalties and things of that nature work. And understanding that I don't necessarily have to wait to be signed to a label to release instrumental albums. Or I don't have to wait until somebody decides to rap or sing on my music in order for me to release it. I can release it as is. So now it's, okay, Shake, put it out there. Let's see what happens. You never know. It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody singing on it. You never know who attention it may get. You never know if it might end up on a commercial or it may end up on an ad or somebody might want to use it for their YouTube. Put it out there. So now it's just getting comfortable with releasing it and not hoarding it. Mm-hmm. And it's just sitting on a hard drive collecting dust.
Mm-hmm. So with the new way of like releasing music and not necessarily depending on a label to kind of, you know, tell you which direction to go, social media and in a way streaming platforms have created the avenue for you to pick your own audience, to pick who you want to kind of drive towards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you don't have that limitation to say, I'm a producer, I make beats, but I also can have these beats be a way for people to just listen to. Mm-hmm. I don't need a vocal to say I have to put it out. You don't have to wait.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not in today's society, you don't. Not in today's music, no. You don't have to wait anymore. Because I do feel like there are a lot of people that may want to just hear the instrumental of a beat. I know I do, but I don't know if that may necessarily just be because of the producer side of me where I would like to just hear the breakdown of how the beat is versus hearing it as a complete body of work.
In today's music realm, do you feel that we do need to know the producer before the artist?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. So I feel like with today's music, the producer tag is everything. I do listen to certain people and You know, there are some that complain about the producer tag, but I feel like that's just other producers that may just be hating because they're not where they want to be. So they're tired of hearing the same producer tags over and over again. But I feel that without having the physical copy of albums anymore, producer tags are important because now I know either beginning or the end of the song who the producer was. Now, sometimes even though you have a specific producer tag in there, it may still be a collaborative effort of them having multiple people who may turn on to that beat. Because you can't tell me that Heatmaker don't have a group of people. You can't tell me that AO and Keys, I know for a fact AO and Keys has a group of people that they all collectively work with because I've seen it in the studio. So I know that there's a group of them, which I have no problem with that. I feel like that was another reason that held me up with me releasing my stuff was because it's all me. Everything, producing, melodies, drums, bass, everything, it's all up to me. I'm not getting packs. You know, some producers get packs. I'm not getting packs from people with melodies that they've already created and then I could just do whatever I want to. I gotta do some research. I gotta do some digging. I gotta do this, which is absolutely fine. But my end goal is I'm gonna have a team.
Yeah.
It's good to have a team. There's nothing wrong with having a team. Just make sure everybody getting their credit. Everybody that has something to do with it, I don't give a damn if they just came up with the damn hi-hat pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Give them some credit.
Mm-hmm.
Let people know that they had something to do with it.
Yeah, I'm learning that I had to step out of that I can do it myself mode too and realize that like anything that you're building towards, you have to have a team. So it's like in the beginning, you know, it's good to start off with yourself because you want to prove the concept to yourself that you're able to do it.
Right.
And that you know, this is what you really want to do. So you want to put in the work for yourself to say, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to make sure that I do what I need to do to even get it started.
Right.
But so, you know, you can take our podcast. We set out last year to say, let's start our podcast. And we did the recording ourselves. We did the editing ourselves. You know, we put it out ourselves. And it's just like, it was successful because we completed something.
Exactly.
And we consistently, you know, kept with what we set out to do. Mm-hmm. Now, for our second season, you know, we partner with a team of individuals that, you know, want to be a part of, you know, helping grow exactly what we're doing with Perception Vibes. And I'm thankful for the team that we're partner with, and I'm thankful for us that we came back to do it again, because it's hard to say like I'm gonna create a show to put my opinion out there and wait for the world to receive it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like I think we're gaining a pretty good audience just based off of not even knowing who we are.
Right.
And off the strength that like we love what we do. We love what we do. We're genuine with what we, you know, set out to talk about. You know, that's what I got.
And it's not coming from a place of hate. Me saying that I don't like something.
Right.
It's just me evaluating things and how I feel that I can take my producer hat off, I can take my engineer hat off, and then I can just be the fan. And most of the time when I'm saying I don't like something, it's coming from the fan part of me.
Okay.
Not the producer or the engineer part of me. Because the producer and the engineer part of me can still find the good in something that I don't enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that you have to be able to do. That's what it was. When you said being in the room while someone is creating the process. That's where I feel what was lost along the way of all of these labels putting out music.
Yeah.
I feel the art of being an A&R is gone. I feel like the men more so than the women, where they're just having people just bombard them with, send me your beats, send me your beats, send me your beats, send me your beats. So they get to sending those beats and they just saying, oh yeah, let's go with that one. Yeah. Let's go with that one. Mm-hmm. Or I don't like those. Let's go to the next pack. You need that. A&R is needed.
They contribute to the package of what it is that you're getting ready to put out. Yes. And they, you know, because sometimes artists can get in their own way. Yes. Of saying like, no, I kind of only want this. But the A&R should be like, no, I want to kind of push you in this direction because I know you'll like bring out the best part of you.
Yes.
That's what an A&R needs to do.
I definitely would not mind being an A&R.
Okay.
I wouldn't. If an artist came to me and said, Shake, put my album together. You pick the beats. Don't let me pick the beats. What do you feel at this point in time in my career, or if I'm in the beginning stages of my career? We got these, I got a collective amount of beats. Let's go through them. Or what producers do you feel I should be working with? Mm-hmm. Because that's another job of an A&R as well, is go find that producer. Mm-hmm. Stop sifting through emails about all these producers that sent to me. Because then at that time, that's where it becomes a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Of, oh, well, I know, who's the producer? I know what AO and Keys does.
Yeah.
I know what Weezy Out Here got.
Yeah.
I know what London on the Track got. I want to work with them. But then you never know. There might be some other ones that y'all just bypass because y'all just want to focus on the ones who's popular. Like,
yeah.
It's time to get back to that.
Music has to get back to, in order to get the quality that we're seeking in music again, it's like music has to get back to the chemistry that's built between the creatives that's a part of the process, the producers, the engineers, the studio needs to be a part of the album creation.
Leave the entourage at home, mm-hmm. and have the people that have the music at heart focused in the room. You don't need 30 people in a studio room that's all high,
mm-hmm.
pumping you up, saying that that's fire. Because 9 times out of 10, it's not.
Yeah.
Especially R&B.
Yeah.
If you R&B, like, I feel like R&B, when it comes to really singing, like really singing and focusing on the harmonizations and things of that nature, that takes focus.
Yeah.
You can't use auto-tune all the time.
Yeah. So it's like, who's that producer that's saying, no, try singing it this way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe go up, you know, a tempo, you know?
Yeah, that's where artist development and things like that come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Vocal coaches, y'all need them. You need them. Auto-tune can work for some people, but auto-tune shouldn't be the, oh, yeah, let me just put, oh, we gonna fix it with auto-tune.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me just put auto-tune on the vocals because I already know you ain't gonna be able to hit them notes anyway.
Yeah.
But even still, like, some people don't realize that some of those notes that they hit with those auto-tune is not the right key. That's why it makes the tune that it makes, mm-hmm. auto-tune.
Mm.
So when you put those on there, you really not, most of the time you're not really singing in key. It's the roboticness of it is what puts it in key.
So do you feel like the art form of music is lost right now?
No. I don't think it's lost. I just think it's all over the place.
Because so many people have access to be a producer and be an artist and, you know, is that selfish to say?
No. I like the fact that we are able to have, because everybody can say everything is oversaturated, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you are really true to creating great music, whatever style that may be, really take the time to understand. Take the time to study. Mm-hmm. Take the time to study. I think with men, there are a lot of artists that they all sound the same.
Yeah.
The reason why I love Ginuwine, Tank, Trey Songz, Omarion, Eric Billinger, Chris Brown, they don't sound the same. Mm-hmm. You can't find me another artist that sounds like them. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going to catch my attention first. Like, even, have you heard Giveon? I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
I like his tone of his voice because it's different. His music is not.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like,
the music not right.
The men have great potential to have great music, but the music selection is like sad songs, or it's like you singing in one tone.
Yes.
So I get exactly what you say when you talk about Black, but it's like, for some men, like, I don't want to hear the falsetto tone the entire song.
No.
Like, hit your one note and let's move on. So when we spoke about women, we said women had the confidence issue, or not even an issue, but the confidence factor in their way of music creation. Can we say the same thing about men? Because it's almost like men are kind of like in a battle between the same sound. It's like, I can create this sound, but I know mine is better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. So men would be ego.
Yes. In the bag. They want to chase the bag. So if I'm going to chase the bag, then I got to make sure that my sound sounds like everybody else's sound.
Mm-hmm.
What's popping right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's trending right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to get my clicks? Who gonna support me and retweet or repost my album?
Yeah.
Because I did this, that, and the other that everybody else has already done.
Right.
I kind of applaud Trey Songz for that new album that he dropped because it didn't sound like what's popping right now. It was a different sound. It wasn't, I can't say that it was typical Trey Songz, and it wasn't Trey Songz trying to follow everybody else. It was like, here's an album.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's cool. It's not, you know, I think for Trey Songz, Anticipation 2 was the greatest album that wasn't an album.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely was slept on. And I'm actually happy that he was able to finally put it on the streaming site, because for the longest you had to find it through like a Dat Piff or a live mixtape.
Right.
So now that they actually put it on like Apple Music and Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was a good album. I do have some favorites on there. I thought it was good.
My listening skills have kind of like been, they've been very limited. Like, I literally just been turn it on, nope. Like, it's like flipping through a magazine for me, because nothing is like, ooh, nothing has done that for
okay
me.
So I do have one that did do that to me actually this week. I found out what his name was. It's L.A.
Okay.
It's L.A.
Okay.
And it's a whole acronym behind the letters, but you pronounce it L.A. So I was in my mode to getting prepared for this. So I wanted to see, well, what's in the top picks for the Apple Music. So I was listening, and there was this one song by him. And when I, you know, I don't like to, if I'm listening to something new, I don't want to look and see what the name of the track is or who's featured on it. I just let it play.
Mm-hmm.
So I was letting it play, and I'm like, okay, this is a nice little vibe. And then I'm like, this sounds like a song that should have Rick Ross on it. boom, here come Ross. Mm. I'm like, okay.
That'll make me listen right there.
Yeah, it was that. So then I'm like, okay, well, he got this song with Rick Ross, and it was just released. Let me go see what else he has. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, I did hear a song by him before, but it was with Ty Dolla $ign, the Bang Your Line.
Yeah.
I kind of liked the song, but I definitely liked the way, you know, Ty Dolla $ign sung his part on the song, but it wasn't something that I can repetitively go back to all the time. It has to be like, okay, I want to listen to it now.
Yeah.
But I went and listened. I went to go look for him, and come to find out, he had three different projects that I've never really listened to. Mm-hmm. So I went through all of them, and I'm like, okay, he got a vibe. But then the thing that was like I don't really know is because he kind of sound like Drake to me with the rapping and the singing. And then some certain songs, it was like, is this Drake?
Yeah.
Because he really sounds like Drake. Not saying, like, the cadence in which he raps or sing. I'm talking about his actual tone of his voice.
Right.
Sound like Drake. So I was like, I'm not really sure, but I do like him. I like him. I think he keep on releasing stuff. Eventually, he should be able to find something that's going to remove him from that conversation of he sounds like Drake.
No, I got you. I'm gonna have to take you up on that.
Yeah, he definitely has two songs that I know that stood out for me. It was Moments with 7th Streeter and Slip and Fall with Eric Bellinger. Yeah, Slip and Fall with Eric Bellinger. Like, pay attention on the Moment song when 7th Streeter comes in. It's like the beat makes a little shift in how it is. Like, from versus the first half of the song, like the second half of the song, it gives you like a different vibe.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. And I'm a judge a book by its cover type of person, so a lot of these album covers I don't click on because of the cover.
You know you win, right?
I know. That's the artist in me.
I see, for me, it's those chords. It's the chords and the bass.
See, this is a shake song. This is a shake song, but this is nice, though.
Okay, so now, fast forward into...
Yeah, this is a shake song.
Yeah, man. You better...
This is a shake song, y'all.
Leave me alone.
Exactly. So if you go back to the beginning when I said shake song, this is a shake song.
Oh, why is that? What is the problem?
Get out the bedroom. But it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
If that means that because I'm a very intimate person and I love intimacy, everything about it, then so be it. I don't care.
Speak your truth.
I don't care no more. That's what I like. I don't care. I can listen to that all day long. I'd rather be in a smooth, mellow vibe than be too hype, like listening to rap music, certain rap music, or too depressed by listening to heartbreak music.
So I can get the same vibe with Sir. Like, I'm pretty sure you would not listen to this song. But this is smooth, little. It can go either way for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to the part though. It's coming up.
That's cool. That's cool. I wouldn't mind listening to that. I don't know if I would listen to it on my own, but if you was to play it, I'd be like, all right, that's cool.
My music gets no love.
I said, if you played it, if I was in the car with you or if I was at the house with you and you put this on.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It would be like, oh, this is cool.
You definitely, you do have your type and I have my type. Your Gemini, my Gemini. My Gemini is freak nasty. Yours is, I don't know.
My Gemini is if it go there, it go there. But it don't have to go there right away. Like,
who said it had to go there?
Lead me into it.
That song has nothing that says that it is go there,
that's,
right?
That's what
there.
I mean.
There. I'm not talking about your song. I'm talking about the song I said.
Your intention is already... Basically, your intention is already known. It's like in the movies, you know, if you're on the first date or whatever, and then they shut down the light and they turn on, you know, the typical songs, because they know, like, they trying to let it be known, hint hint, I'm trying to give you some tonight. That's your music. me, I don't set my intention right away. It just happens to go there.
That's
it. Nah, but for real. On that note, to sum it up, men, let's go ahead and put the egos aside. Women, we had to, you know, admit that we need a little more confidence to be like, this is what I'm trying to put out and stick to it. So, men, you got to put your ego to the side and
listen. Listen when you're in the rooms, listen to your fans, listen to the executives that you trust.
Yeah.
If you know you don't trust that executive and you know that that executive is only after numbers, then it's understandable. Mm-hmm. But if you got somebody that genuinely understands your sound and what you should be going for to elevate your sound, listen.
Because, mm-hmm, you know what, and this is just another tidbit, it's like me and mommy was watching the documentary on Usher's mom, and she was saying like how when Usher put out Here I Stand, mm-hmm, how he basically like wanted to kind of separate from her being his manager. He wanted to kind of do it his way, and like that album didn't go. So where did he go back to?
And mama.
He went back because you know your sound.
You got to make sure that your team knows you inside and out.
Yeah.
They got to know you. They got to know what can grow you, and they got to know what's going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. So if you don't got that team behind you that's going to tell you, no,
yeah,
that ain't the move, mm-hmm, then you ain't got the right team around you. You got to tell me, nah, Shake, that ain't it.
Yeah.
Nah, we gonna keep on pushing. Mm-hmm. Don't put that one on the next instrumental album, because that ain't it. We need to go here. All right, bet.
Yeah.
Because you got to trust. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust what you say, mm-hmm, and trust where we're going to move to grow Shake House the way we need to grow Shake House. So you got to have a team. Mm-hmm. You got to have a team.
Well, we definitely thank you guys for joining in with us today. And
yeah,
welcome back to Perception Vibes.
Yeah, we in season two. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. You can find us on Anchor. You can find us on all the major platforms where you can find the podcast. And that YouTube channel is coming soon.
Yes, and go ahead and give us a follow. I'm _CoolBreeze on Instagram.
And I am at ShakeHouseMG, all one word.
And this was Men in R&B for you. So tune in next week.
Who is gonna get good?
tune in next week.
Yes, we're going to be talking about something that's going to be really, really interesting. So we're going into the interlude.
Ooh.
The forgotten art of the interlude.
Oh, the forgotten art. Now I want to continue the conversation. Can we keep rolling? No.
Nah, it's time to get up out of here.